I want to go to the Old Testament tonight. I don't think we preach enough out of the Old Testament. I think it's a bit of a crime that, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm so enamored by that. I've tried to figure out what it is, and then I started like, that's creation, and that's the end, you know. So there's Noah. We're going to talk about Noah. And I think it's a bit of a crime that we sometimes remember the life of Noah, and all we really remember about him is the ark and the flood. And driving around, it looks like Cape Town is flooding pretty much. But it was way more, he was way more of an interesting character than just the ark and the flood. He was more than a shipbuilder. He was more than a zoologist. He was the only one that heard God speak since Adam. Since Adam was kicked out of the garden, 1,000 years passed. I don't know if you knew that. But Noah is the first person to meet with a speaking God since Adam. I think it's pretty cool. You see, Noah had traditions. Noah had rituals. Noah had history. Maybe some sacraments to guide him and assisting him and reaching out to God. He had some of these things in place that was passed down from Adam, the stories from his dad. But I want to say all those things, your rituals, your history, your traditions, none of them is a substitute for hearing the voice of God and God directly communicating with you. Also just, it's wonderful to have those things. Since Noah was born in 1056 BC, we can read that. You guys can read that in Genesis chapter 5. Please go read it in the week. He barely, literally barely missed, sorry, that was quite loud. Barely missed knowing Adam, that lived to the ripe old age of 930. And then Seth. But it's highly likely that Lamech, Noah's father, knew Adam. So it wasn't even, didn't miss that much. He could have almost known in those years. He missed it with like literally 70 years. Imagine that. You were living while Adam, the first man, was alive and you could meet him. I mean, what would you ask if you were Noah? Like, what would you ask Adam? What was it like to be naked? That's what Francois wants to know. I am going to speak to him when I get up in heaven and say to him, I could have been naked with no shame if nothing went wrong in that garden. So any tradition or teaching that Adam wanted to hand down in only the second generation at the time of the flood. It was literally, it's not a lot of time that has really passed. And I don't want to spend too much on Noah and his history and birth, but I want us to look at a few things about Noah's life. And one thing that I want to stress is that the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him to his heart. God was sorry that he made man. Some translations actually says God repented. Man's wickedness and depravity produced disappointments in God. There we see it in Genesis 6 verse 6. But nowhere do the scriptures say that he has ever been sorry that he redeemed man. God's not sorry that he redeemed each one of us. I want to say thank you, Jesus. So Noah comes into a very dark and dismal time in history. It doesn't seem like it's a nice time in history right now. Noah's, his birth, and his birth into a time of wickedness. His birth into a time of violation of the rights of others. His birth in a time of robbery and violence. His birth in a time where heroes were made of those who lived lawless lives. Does that sound familiar? Kind of sound like our times. basically sums up contemporary movies, entertainment, and politics at this present moment where we live. But this is the time that Noah, and this is where God is coming in, and the Lord regretted that he had made man because of their wickedness, because of robbery and violence. But Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, verse 37. He said this: "So as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So same things are going to happen, my friends, in our time, right now. You guys are most probably, if you live in Stellenbosch, you are one of the meccas of some of this stuff that is breeding. This is a breeding ground for this. Inquisitive minds and people that know too much. And, you know, a lot of things are happening. You don't have to walk out. It's not that bad, I promise. It gets better. Is it possible, I'm asking this question tonight, is it possible that our times equal the sin of Noah's days? Or even worse? Let us be aware, for God has not changed his attitude towards sin. The same God that we see is the God that we see in Romans 6:23. Same God. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So in the midst of this coming, in the midst of all of this, comes the tenth in the line of Adam. So let's read Genesis chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 quickly. "When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, 'Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands.'" Have you ever read that about Noah? Okay. This child comes into a crucial time with actually a very critical mission. Noah comes into time and he's actually got a critical mission that he needs to accomplish. What does the word Noah mean? Noah means rest. This one will bring us relief, or this one will bring us rest or comfort. So it's a prophetic picture. But please note, what is the relief from? Well, the result of the curse of sin that happened through Adam. What was the result of sin? Was hard work and painful toil of hands. That's kind of what it is. So if you want to know that, go read. Let's read quickly Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. If you don't believe me, let me just put it out there. "And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not of it eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain,'" there's that word, "'you shall eat of it all the days of your life.'" Is there another verse? To 19. It's coming. "'Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you.'" Isn't it interesting that Jesus wore a crown of thorns? Anyway, think about it. "'And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" That's the curse that Adam is under. Now, Lamech is calling his son, and he's saying, this guy, Noah, I know a guy. He's going to help us. And that's an old joke, that. It seems that although they understood the threat of their wretchedness, of their brokenness, of their sinfulness, was the result of this curse, there is actually little evidence that they were seeking to live sinlessly. They just continued. They were like, oh, are we going to die in our sin? But there's no, like, I'm going to stop sinning, but and maybe this curse will lift. They merely wanted someone to give them relief and comfort them in their sorrows. That's all. Noah is that guy. I think a lot of us can be like that some days. We want a Savior, but we don't want a Lord. We want Jesus to save me. Save me, Jesus. But when Jesus is saying, I want you all, you're like, it's a bit hard. Then it's a very difficult song that we sang. No, there's a few walls in my heart still. But if we really say that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, we break down all walls within our heart and allow Him in. I think that Noah must have lived under tremendous pressure, almost like Moses many years later, and he was called to be a deliverer. But not knowing how to fulfill that commission. Lamech might have taken comfort in the birth of his son. Lamech is like, he's going to be called Rest Noah. He's just going to be the guy. Lamech took comfort in the birth of his son, but it must have been very difficult for young Noah to grow up with such high hopes. This guy, Noah. Like every party they get to, it's like this guy. Do you know what his name means? Rest. He's going to bring rest to his people. This guy, Noah. Think about it. It's a bit of pressure, bro. I'm sure the more godly Noah lived, the more he was hated by his generation. Both his life and preaching condemned the world all the time. I'm sure he experienced great loneliness. He wasn't the nice guy that everybody wanted to hang out with, because he preached against that stuff. Noah lived righteously and walked with God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 says this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah was blameless, but he still didn't see any alleviation of man's suffering. He didn't. He lived blameless, but his peers are dying in their sin. They kept on sinning. God didn't want to remove the curse from the earth. He wanted to remove cursed man from the earth now. God's not just going to like, I'm going to alleviate this. No. I'm just going to wipe the whole lot off the face of the earth right now. Noah eventually learned that God sometimes delivers his people from the circumstances and sometimes in the midst of the circumstances. That's what Noah learned. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but sometimes we get literally delivered from the circumstances of what's happening in our lives, but sometimes we need to be in the storm. Sometimes we just need Jesus in our boat. And Noah's peers expected him to solve the crisis. But God merely expected him to survive in the midst of that crisis. That's what he expected of Noah. And they were all like, Noah, you're gonna deliver us. And this is what I want to pick up today. This is really the crux of today's message, is this verse. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God speaks. For the first time in 1,000 years, God is speaking to man. What a treasure Noah found hearing God's voice and looking into his face. You see, Adam enjoyed the grace and the communion with God as long as he had unrestricted communication with God. The Bible says that he actually walked in the cool of the day. He walked with God. But God also walked with him, with Noah. But as soon as Adam was kicked out of Eden, that communication stopped. There was this angel that was placed that they couldn't get back into the presence. Really, that was like the presence of God. You can't come in because you've sinned. And all have sinned, the Bible says in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Communication stopped. The last communication between God and humanity was God's judgment of Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your face fallen?" That's the last time God speaks. Not once during this 1,000 years between Adam and Noah does Genesis refer to God speaking to anyone on this earth. Doesn't even say that God spoke to Enoch that walked with God. Look at this, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. I mean, I went to research. I was like, yo, that guy, God took him. But Enoch walked with God. Doesn't say God talked to him, and he was not, for God took him. I want to go like that. But I want him to talk to me as well. What a long silence. I can only imagine that this silence led man to slide even further from God. I mean, between Malachi and the New Testament, there's only 400 years that God's not speaking. The last Old Testament prophet is John that comes on the scene and say, "There is the one whose shoes I'm not even worthy to tie or untie." 1,000 years. I think a lot of moral depravity, a lot of backsliding, if you will, is because we do not hear God's voice. Would man be so far from God if he talked to God? If you heard God's voice and you understood God's voice and you obeyed God's voice, would you be that far from him? Romans chapter 2 verse 4 tells us, "It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance." Look at this. "Or do you presume on the riches of the kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness or goodness is meant to lead you to repentance?" But do we actually experience and see God's goodness if he's not speaking to us? And I know I shouldn't do this, but if you really want to listen to a great preach on the goodness of God, I preached last week in Mossel Bay. I'm not going to teach you the whole, it's on Spotify. Go listen to it. Hey? Or Apple. I don't use Apple. No. Spotify. It's something that I think we misunderstand. It's like, because we just, I don't feel good, therefore God is most probably not good to me. Your feelings has got nothing to do with the goodness of God. God always stays good. It's his nature. They have all the traditions, these guys. They have all the history and a few godly examples, but no revelation of and from God. There's just silence. And if we do not hear God's voice, we will respond to other voices. That's what we'll do. What do you listen to? You listen to your own conscience, your own seared conscience. You listen to your own wicked heart. The Bible says, you know, follow, you know, I love these stupid t-shirts that people sometimes have on. Follow your heart. Why would you want to follow your heart? It's wicked above all things. Follow Jesus, not your heart. The demonic will speak to you. And they ain't great voices to listen to. And they won't lead you to holiness at all. Yes. Out of the mouth of babes. So mankind, not taught and not directed by God, not led by his spirit, will always fall into the lowest level of filth and misery. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously." Just go read Romans chapter 1. So get to the crux of the sermon today. First thing I want you to note is God spoke to Noah. Noah heard the voice of God. Did he hear God's voice because he was the last in line, or did he actually become the last in line because he, among all the wicked peers, heard the voice of God? I don't know. But he heard God's voice. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 says this, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. So God actually saw Noah as a prophet. God cannot judge sinning people until he could find one who would listen and who would tell them and describe how he felt and what he was about to do. He needed to find someone that he could trust with his word, a prophetic word, and tell his people, you guys are wicked. I mean, Noah wasn't winning any popularity contest at this stage at all. Now imagine, this is his message. Guys, some rain's going to fall. What's rain? It's never rained. Do you know that? It's never rained. Water just came up from the ground and wet the plants. No rain fell. Guys, there's going to be rain. What's rain? Water from the sky. Okay, we've never seen it. And then I'm going to build a boat, and only a few of us are going to be rescued. We're going to get a few animals in that boat. What's a boat? No, it's a thing that floats on top of water. Why is there so much water? Because of the rain that's going to fall from the sky. And then you're all going to die. I don't think that will go down well. Even if you stand on the corner here and shout that out to anybody right now. But Noah listened, and Noah heard. Noah discerned God's voice. And God said, Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. All of a sudden, God says, listen, I'm going to stop this thing. You guys are not living till 930 because you're just messing up. Now you guys are going to live for 120 years. God told Noah how much longer man will live on the earth. In actual fact, he uses a number. He says 120 years. He's actually telling them that. It's not just his age. That's he's actually saying, in 120 years, I'm going to kill you all. That's what he's saying there. And 120 years later, the flood came. For 120 years, Noah became a preacher of righteousness. And he warned these people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, one that announces righteous, preaching righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. If people will not hear God, they will not hear God's preachers. Noah didn't just preach righteousness, he lived it. He didn't just stand up there and preach something at them. He lived a life. I mean, we just saw that. Noah walked with God. He was a righteous man. He lived that amongst his peers. He demonstrated a life of righteousness. He lived it. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. He was a shining light, a beacon. He could please God because he knew what God desired. He listened to God. So how do you know how to please God if you don't even know what God wants? Noah was a man of faith that pleases God. And the more he heard, the more his faith matured. The more we hear what God is saying to us through the word, through preaching, through whatever channels God chooses to speak to us, the more our faith mature because God's speaking to me. Some of our generation think that God sees to speak, and when he speaks, he only talk theology. Serious. God opens his mouth, and he's just going to talk to you about eschatology, and pneumatology, and Christology. God didn't discuss theology with Noah. He didn't. He shared his thoughts. He shared his feelings and he shared plans. God communicate dimensions and patterns, materials and construction of an ark. That's what God talked to Noah with. That's what he said to Noah. You see, God can speak about anything to us. He can counsel us in every avenue of life if we develop a listening ear and believe and do what he says. So point one I want to make tonight is God speaking is very necessary. We need him. The second point I want to make is that God speaking is available to you and to me. If Noah could be delivered by listening to God's voice and obeying it, so can we. Oh, Stefan, how do you hear God's voice? Well, just listen. In actual fact, pick up your Bible, read it out loud, and that's the voice of God, if you'd wondered. Because these are his words. This is inspired word of God. Go read your Bible. If you want to know, you know what Bible stands for? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Okay. Because we're aliens. If Noah could be delivered, so could we. Walking and talking with God has been restored by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. There's no, I think we said it this evening, we can enter boldly into the throne room of grace. We can enter boldly into the presence of a living King. Why would you stand at the door if the King has extended the invitation for you to come in? Why would you be a doorkeeper? Why would you stand there? I want to go in. I want to be with him. We have access to the Father. We have the Spirit that fills us and leads us. We have, in actual fact, you and I, as born-again believers, we have no excuse. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says this. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He speaks to us through Jesus Christ. I believe no generation in history has had God's voice as available as this generation. No other generation had this than this generation. But does obedience match that availability? Do I really listen and obey? Nah, it's difficult. How does holiness match with that communication that's received from him? Is your holiness lining up with it? I don't know. Because if we hear him, we will obey him. Maybe we are more fixated on retransmission of his voice than responding to that voice. In actual fact, oh, I just received from God. I just need to come tell you guys. No, no, no. Sometimes that what God tells me, I need to change on. First, somebody has once asked me, how do we start revival? I say, draw a circle around you and revive everything inside that circle. That's where revival starts. It doesn't start with me. Oh, guys, I got the blueprint on revival. I'm going to download it for you guys. No, it starts with me. It starts with me. I'm not fixated on just retransmission of what God, oh, I believe this is what God said. No, no, no. If God spoke to me, I need to change first. We love to prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. Could God get you and me to build an ark on the basis of such communication? Hey, think about it. Right now, this is not a condemning message. This is really, it ends well, guys. It does. Think about it. If you were in that time, and you were Noah, would you build that thing? Based upon what God said to you? We spend hours in prepping and delivery of sermons to declare God's word, his voice. Does it affect behavior outside the church building? Does it change anything out there? Does it change anything tomorrow morning when you go to work? We clap hands when we hear tongues and interpretation of tongues and manifestations of His voice. We sing emotional songs, but His voice is meant to direct and guide. I always say it's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you come down. We love doing it. Oh, how was the meeting? Oh man, it was wild. We sang, we clapped hands, and it was just crazy. And I tell you, manifestations are fantastic. But if your manifestation don't lead you to obey. It's the same as theology. If my theology don't lead me to worship Him more. If my theology, I can sit and study and study and study. But if it doesn't lead me to see Him, who He is, ultimately it's about Him. All of this is about Him. His voice is meant to direct and guide us, not just to excite. Oh, He spoke to us. But will you trust and obey and do as He said? If you do not obey, we're actually rebels. Delayed obedience is disobedience. The last thing I want to say, second last thing, God speaking brings us to worship. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar, to the Lord, and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. This is how Noah commemorates God. He remembers Him. He worships Him. Noah's first reaction after the flood was to worship the Lord. And what is God's response? Because this is the beauty. There is a response. You know that. It's reciprocal. My worship is not just unto Him. He comes back. And look at this. Genesis chapter 8 verse 21. And the Lord smelled. Oh. He's like, that Noah. I knew he was a Noah guy. I know that guy. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in His heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. God smelled and God said, worshiping man is a delight to God. I loved worship tonight because that's what we did. Worshipping man, not worshipping man, us worshipping. Not worshipping man. A man that worships. Okay. Is a delight to God. Noah wasn't bitter towards God. He blessed God. And what happens is God speaks again. This led to God speaking. Worship causes God to speak. As God received Noah's sweet-smelling offering, He spoke again and He made a covenant with Noah that we all see. If you walk outside and there's a rainbow, that is God's way of speaking and keeping His covenant with Noah and his sons. Worship always renews communication with God. If you're struggling to hear God's voice, I can tell you right now, go and worship. If you're struggling with anything, go into your room, close the door behind you, and worship Him. Build an altar. Let's never stop. He is most likely to speak to us as we worship. I remember Francois. I'm going to tell you a little story about Francois, about worship. You want to hear some? So what? So Francois couldn't hear God's voice unless he listened to Bethel. So I said to him, stop listening to Bethel. Just start listening to the voice of God. I did. And he did. And he had sweet times. There were times in that room. It was a very small room, guys. I feel sorry. It feels almost like slavery, kind of. It's smaller than that kitchen there in the back. It was free. And you lived with cool people. But he came out. And look at him today. Because he worshipped in the secret place. God loves to speak to his people. I believe it with my whole heart. God loves to speak to his people. But the craziness of life often dulls his voice because we get so busy. We're so just, I said this morning in Durbanville Central, I said, rest, my friends, is not going on holiday. Rest is finding Jesus. Rest is a person and his name is Jesus. You can go on hunting trips, surfing trips, any trip that you want to go on, and you'll come back even more tired. But you need to find Jesus. That sweet moments. My friends, you can find him anywhere. John Calvin said, you see the beauty of God in every blade of grass. Just go walk outside. You live in most beautiful place, most probably, in the Western Cape. I live in the most beautiful place, in the Garden Route. You guys most probably live in the most beautiful. That's why I said, yeah, just in the Boerland. Just no comparison. Making a statement. During worship, what happens during worship? Our minds are quieted. Our activities are centered upon Him. We look to Him. That's it. It's all about Him. In that moment, it's all about Him. We are spiritually sensitive in that moment. Communication with God is vital to this worship, for worship is the expression. Listen to this. Worship is the expression of our deepest love and adoration. Worship is love responding to love. Because He loved me first. That's all I'm doing. I'm just responding to His love. Worship is two lovers responding to one another. Do you see it like that? Or do you sing a song? Or are you actually responding to the lover of your soul? I'm going to ask just now, we're going to go back into just a song of worship. If you have something like that. We as lovers. Oh man, Song of Solomon. I know it's that sexual book that most people don't want to read. Hey. But there's this beautiful verse that tells my lover, I am lovesick. Who's married? Have you been lovesick? Have you been lovesick? Hey? Have you been lovesick? Hey? You guys, just, I'm going to go away on a trip to America for 2 weeks. I can promise you, I'm not even in Joburg, and I'm going to be lovesick. And crying. This guy's getting married when I get back from America. The Walton. He's lovesick, this guy. This guy is total lovesick, right? But it's two lovers responding to one another. Check all the couples, kiss one another now. Go for it. This is church. Only if you're couples and married. Otherwise, keep a place for the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm saying. Okay. How can this happen without communication? We used to joke in one of our houses that we stayed in. We were still on Skype. I know it's long before most of you were born. I don't remember that. Skype. So we had two computers next to one another. And I would Skype her next to me. Hey, what you doing? But here's the thing. I think sometimes that's not even communication. I know it's a joke. We I kind of joked around. But if I don't talk to my wife for 3 weeks, do I really love her? And that's the same with the Father. I want you to talk to Him tonight. Worship and prayer must be more than a person talking to God. It must be a dialogue. Breathe in quickly. Just breathe in as long as you can. Okay. Just breathe out for as long as you can. So a lot of our prayers are just breathing out. That's a lot of our prayers. It's just before Him. And He says, stop. You've got to breathe in as well. You've got to listen. Because I want to talk to you. We come with a little list. We come and say, Father, I've got to tell you about this, this, and this. And then we walk away. And He's like, I'm not done. I'm not done. I want to spend time with you. Noah could worship because he learned two-way communication with his creator. If Noah could become a worshiper, I don't know if you've ever seen Noah as a worshiper, but now you're going to read not just about the ark and the flood, you're going to read of Noah the worshiper by listening and responding to the voice of God. So can we. God loves on-the-job training, so this is what we're going to do now. Just He loves that. He can turn this religious chore into an exchange of love. Let's close our eyes quickly.